Hello and welcome, everyone. I am Jake Wurzak, and this is Masters of Moments. This podcast features conversations with the top entrepreneurs and business leaders around hospitality, real estate, investing, and company building. Thank you so much for joining me and enjoy the show. You've heard it on the podcast so many times, and I'm going to say it again. Relationships are everything in real estate. At Dove Hill Capital Management, one of the most interesting things about our track record is that the majority of the deals have come to us off market or lightly marketed. So we had this innovative idea a few years ago, and that was to launch the Deal Rewards Program at Dove Hill Capital Management. If you want to learn more, you can go to www.dovehillcos.com. Again, that's www.dovehillcos.com. You click on the little deal rewards icon and you can sign up. And if you have a deal that's off market that somehow came to you, maybe you're working on a deal, you're trying to put it together, bring it to us because we can help you get that deal done through our deal rewards program. We offer industry-leading incentives. We'll allow you to co-invest in the deal. We could come up with another interesting structure to allow you to do the deal with us. The deal rewards program is incredibly unique and will give you an opportunity to do a deal with Dove Hill, either in a completely passive position, or maybe you're taking a more active role. Either way, please check out the deal rewards program at www.dovehillcos.com. Appreciate it. And this is how we've been getting our flow. The team at Wurzak Hotel Group is just firing on all cylinders right now. So I am very, very excited and proud to announce that we now have a third-party management program where we are managing hotels for other owners. We used to just manage hotels for ourselves, and now we've made some tremendous forward investments in people, our team, technology, accounting, finance, and most importantly, culture. And we are prepared to bring that out to everyone. Our team is experienced in managing independent hotels, branded hotels. We have focused heavily on boutique, lifestyle, and experiential hotels, and we're ready to manage a hotel for you. So if you are interested, if you want to learn more about what we do and how we can help your hotel, please visit wurzakhotels.com. So your entrepreneurial spirit started at a very young age in Israel, and I thought that that would be a fun place to begin the conversation today, and maybe you could tell us how you got into business at a young age.
So first of all, thank you for having me. I think my story starts when I was 15 years old. Unfortunately, I got kicked out of school when I was finishing ninth grade. My mind was always in business. I remember myself working with my dad when I was at construction sites, when I was at 13 years old, and at the summertime and going and helping. And when I basically decided that I'm going to drop school, I went to my dad. I got a loan for like 5,000 shekels. It's equivalent today to like $1,500.
Okay.
And I opened a landscaping company with one of my friends at school. And about 4 months after, I had 9 people working for me that some of them were at the age of my dad. And I was making a lot of money. And I realized that I have good instincts for business. So I was always looking for new adventures, for more opportunities. Real estate and construction is something that I like. Today, I like to focus more on the real estate and joint ventures and partnerships and doing prime location deals and value-added deals rather than focus and be involved in the construction. I prefer to JV and partner, and I'm sure we will speak more about it today, but I like to partner with quality partners that have the experience and capabilities to take a project all the way to the finish line.
What did your dad do in construction?
So they started with basically doing affordable housing for the government, him and a partner. It's basically taking a land and building for the government affordable housing and renting it back to people that qualified for the program.
What did you learn in that landscaping business that's kind of stuck with you throughout your career?
Don't start something that you don't know how to finish it. If you don't see the exit, if you don't see yourself getting it all the way to the end, don't even start. And this is something that's important. By the way, until today, I did not build anything on my own alone without a partner. So always, if you look at my track record, I always JV'd with companies or big players that have the capabilities, taking a project from the set of plans and taking it all the way to the completion and getting the certificate of occupancy.
But you built this landscaping company. You could have built a company to have all these capabilities. Why haven't you ever wanted to do that?
Easier to cut a grass than building a 30-story building. It's quicker, it's faster, and it's less risk. Real estate and construction has a lot of risk. And if you're not putting all the pieces together in this puzzle, and if you're missing one piece out, you might gonna have a problem.
How is business different in Israel than it is in the United States?
So first of all, I'm a proud citizen of the United States, but comparing it to Israel, bureaucracy over there is a killer.
Wow.
So if you're buying a piece of land, for example, in Tel Aviv, from the time you buy the land, getting the entitlements for a high-rise residential tower, it's going to take you 5 years. When you're buying a piece of land here in Florida, for example, because I'm focused on the Florida market, by the time you finish your design and get your entitlements, you're probably 12, 15 months. You start your sales and you're starting construction. So in 3.5, 4 years, you're out. By that time in Israel, you still don't have the approvals.
All the Israeli guys I know are very like, go get them, they're fast. The government is not that way.
Completely different. So you're fast in identifying the opportunity, doing your due diligence, buying the property, but then you're stuck. You're stuck until you're going to get your approval and you're going to get your construction permit. It takes forever.
Have you ever looked at doing deals in Israel?
No. I like to, in Israel, I like to celebrate, having fun, vacations, visiting my family, doing a lot of charity. This is things that we like, but not doing business.
What's the story that brought you to the United States?
So my wife, Liat, and she's my best friend and my partner, she was born in Israel, in Tel Aviv. When she was 6 years old, the family moved to the United States. Most of her life, she was in the United States. At one point, the family moved to Florida. So when Florida was a place that she went to high school, and at one point she wanted to try her luck and make Aliyah, which means moving to Israel. She made that move to Israel, and thank God I was the lucky guy that had the opportunity to meet Liat in Israel. We got married over there and we moved to the United States. We moved to Florida. So we are here in Florida since 1999. 8 kids. Today, thank God, we are grandma and grandpa.
Wow.
We have our first granddaughter. We love it. Very, very excited. Unfortunately, I'm only working 19, 20 hours a day, so I don't have a lot of time to spend with the family. But the fact that I'm observing Shabbat and I have the opportunity to spend some time with the family. So this is the best 25 hours of the week that I have, is when I'm closing my phone, no emails, no computers, no business, no construction sites. I'm focused on my family.
Do you think those 25 hours that you're in solitude with your family gives you an edge over other people because it kind of allows you to clear your mind?
Absolutely. First of all, I'm being disconnected completely. Second of all, it gives me the time to relax and think about what do I need to do on Saturday night? What do I need to do on Sunday? Who I'm going to meet? What is the strategy for this deal? What's pending? What I need to do here? What I need to do there? So it's like, you know, you're watching TV and all of a sudden someone comes and pulls the plug and it gives you the opportunity to say, hey, what's going on here? And this is exactly what's going on with me. Every week, Friday comes Friday evening, I get disconnected, spending time with my family, going to the synagogue to pray, having my Shabbat dinner with the family. I love it. And this is the best moment for me of the week.
So my wife brought me to Florida. That's kind of how I found my home here. And I love living here. I love being here. What do you love about Florida?
A lot of things. First of all, the weather. Second of all, the fact that we are surrounded by water, a lot of landscaping. Florida is a safe place. You can walk here at night, you can travel, you can do everything, and you're not nervous. I talk to other people that traveling, unfortunately, the last few years to like London and other places, New York, Chicago, California, you cannot go to have a dinner in New York or in California or Chicago without being cautious. Hey, someone is going to come rob my watch.
Yep.
Or a friend of mine got robbed in London like 4 months ago in the middle of the day in Bond Street. This is like Collins Avenue here in Bell Harbor or Sunny Isles. And someone robbed him and put a gun into his head and took his Patek Philippe in the middle of the day. The world got crazy. So all of us, we should thank God that we live in Florida, especially me, that I'm focused 100% of our business between my wife and myself. We're investing only in Florida. We love what we do. Our investors and our partners like what we do. We're focused. I'm not going to call my investors or my partners and say, hey, I have a deal for you in Texas or in Chicago. We're focused in Florida. Everybody thought that I'm crazy 4 or 5 years ago that I'm not going to other markets. Today, everybody thinks that I'm a genius. So it worked perfect.
We opened up a hotel yesterday in St. Pete, and I was driving back. I always fly, but I decided to drive. And I was thinking, how amazing would it be to just only have properties in Florida like you have? Because Florida is so big, it's so expansive, it's easy to get around, and each market is very different. And when I was driving through, I was thinking to myself, why would anyone ever want to live somewhere else?
Million percent. And by the way, talking about different markets, I definitely agree with you. The fact that we are very focused in the state of Florida and we're playing in all the markets, which means Palm Beach County, Broward, Dade. For example, about 2 years ago, we acquired the last piece of land for development in Fisher Island. We paid $122 million for this property, selling condos at over $4,000 a foot. Two penthouses were sold at $150 million. It's a big ticket. But we're also playing in other markets, like in downtown Miami, where we sell units at $1,100 a square feet. So we're playing in all markets. Ritz-Carlton Residence in West Palm Beach, Fisher Island, Fort Lauderdale. We just became your neighbors a couple of months ago when we acquired the Quay, the shopping center. This is a deal that makes us very excited because of the location. And I don't think that a lot of people know this Fort Lauderdale market better than you. And you probably will agree with me that we did a hell of a deal. The fact that we joined ventures with the Related Group and Ian Wiener from PEB, I think this completes the puzzle between Ian, that is an expert in retail, and between the Perez family, the Related Group. They're the best in building high rises. I think that this deal will be a home run.
If I sat the Perez's down and asked them about you, what do you think they would say?
I don't know. You should ask them, but I think. George calls me Mr. Nose. He's saying that I have a best nose in buying real estate. JP and Nick probably will tell you that Isaac is a little bit crazy and he's always working. And when people ask me, what's your hobby and what do you do for fun? I say, I go to the office. But I think we're completing each other. We trust each other a lot. We work together for now 12, 13 years. We have a lot of joint ventures together, many, many projects. Many projects that we completed in the past, many projects that we're currently doing, some of them under construction, some of them in the entitlement stage, some of them we're currently in the sales stage. But I think that if you'll ask them one question, is what do you think about Isaac? They will tell you he's a deal junkie.
I'm sure they'd say he's a good person too.
Absolutely. Otherwise, if you don't proceed with someone to the next deal if he's a bad person.
100%.
Because I think that we all can agree that you're better off doing a bad deal with a good partner and not the opposite. You don't want to do a good deal with a bad partner, because if the partner is bad, no matter how good is the deal, you're not going to finish good. And between us and Related, never since we became partner, never had any dispute, any argument. It's okay sometimes to sit down at the same table and say, I think we should sell at $1,500 a foot. No, I think we should sell at $1,800 a foot. I think we should do the Ritz brand, or I think we should do the W brand. But it's okay. We sit down and we brainstorm together. But at the end of the day, I trust the Perez a lot. And a lot of my partners, not only the Related Group and Perez, is between Lennar, the Vieta family, the Coulter Group, Ian Wiener from PEB, that we became very close friends and partners, and between his family and my family. I like to do business with partners. I know what I'm good at. I know what I'm weak at. And this is why I'm looking for partners that can have more value into the deal, that together, this will be a winner. There is a limit of how much person can do. Yep. There is a limit of how much money a person can invest. And sometimes you want to bring investors, you want to bring partners. And so it's okay not to make 100%. You'll make 50%, but it's going to be a good 50%, a safe 50% with maybe less risk. And I think every person, no matter what business he does, a person needs to know how I'm going in and how I'm going to go out. I'm telling always my partners, I'm not in the gambling business. I'm in the real estate business, because sometimes my investors are pushing me, say, Isaac, we want to invest another $50 million of equity. We want to invest another $100 million of equity. Let's go. Let's buy something. And say, guys, when the right opportunity will come, we will make the move. We're not going to do a deal just to say, hey, we just did another deal. We're not in the business just to milk fees. We're in the business to do good deal and good returns for everybody. For us, for our partners, for our limited partners, for our equity partners, for everybody. And for my family, of course.
Of course. If you're only in Florida, how do you think about risk and diversification?
Probably if you'll ask these people, you'll ask some people that knows me this question, they're going to tell you, Isaac is only high risk deal. But even sometimes when you see that the move and the deals that I'm doing, if you're going deep into the transaction, say, this is not a risky deal. It looks like it's risky because Isaac reviewed the deal today, submitted an offer today, and he will close in 3 days if needed. So not a lot of people can move at that speed. And this gives me the advantage of a lot of other big companies and a lot of my partners, because they cannot execute in 2-3 days, or they don't have the desire and the appetite to execute within 3 days or execute within a week. But as far as risk, I think every day we take risk. We wake up in the morning, it's a risk. Go to the office is a risk. When we choose our wife, we took a risk. We don't know if it's going to be successful or not. Our kids going to school, it's a risk. We're doing deals, we're taking risks. So every day we take risk. Sometimes we take less, sometimes we take more. But I think that as far as risk, I'm trying to stay as focused on as possible. State of Florida, real estate only. Unfortunately, we got burned in some investment that we made that are not related to real estate. And this is why we made the decision years ago. We don't do stocks. We don't do crypto. We don't do investments in pharmaceutical companies. We're focused in real estate. And my recommendation to everybody is stick to what you know.
So in your projects, how involved are you in the concept, the design, the business plan? You're finding all these deals, but are you involved in the whole process, or are you kind of take a step back?
Very involved because I'm a control freak. And I'm involved from the design, from I want to be involved with the team of the people that we're selecting, with the brand, with the architect, with the engineers. I'm demanding to get weekly reports, participate in meetings, participate in Zoom calls. I have an obligation and fiduciary duty to my investors. People believe in me. People trusted me. It's not like giving me a check and I'm going to go to the beach. Also, I found this great opportunity in Sunny Isles or in Aventura in Fort Lauderdale, and I'll talk to Related or to Coulter or with Lennar in 3-4 years and hope the deal will work out. Doesn't work like this. We have a fiduciary duty and obligation to our partners and our investors. And the reason that people like to invest with us, they know that we are hands-on. So answering to your question, always involved in all the projects. We currently have 31 projects. 19 of them is with Related. The rest, we have Coulter, Lennar, Peb, and American Landmark, Electra America, and others. So we are involved with everybody. So I'm starting every day at 4:30 in the morning. I finish at 10, 11 o'clock at night, firing a lot of emails, a lot of meetings, a lot of Zoom calls. I love what I do. There is people that go to sleep at night and they don't want the morning to come. And by me, it's exactly the opposite. I go to sleep at night and I'm waiting for the morning to come.
How do you keep tabs on 31 deals?
You should come to my office.
I want to come to your office.
I like a pen and a paper. I have reports of everything, every deal with reminders, with detailed schedules. So I know in every project, I can tell you how many units, square feet, who's involved, who is the team, the brand. I'm hands-on on every project. And I think it's important. When you lose control, I think this is the time that you need to take a break, stop and focus on getting execution on what you have. Otherwise, you're putting everything in jeopardy.
I told someone that we were doing this interview and they said, you know what's amazing? Isaac sometimes uses like these 5-page, you know, basic form agreements to buy a lot of this stuff. What have you learned about simplicity in doing complicated transactions?
So my focus is getting things done. And unfortunately, there is people that like things to be complicated. Attorneys are here to protect us, but they also here to make money like right. us as well. So sometimes I can get the same results in a Florida bar, 5 pages contract, than the results that the attorney will get on a 75-page contract. Because at the end of the day, what do we have in the contract? Buyer, seller, information on the property, deposit, due diligence period, closing date, clear title. If there is a default by buyer or seller, we set the guidelines and the contract is clear. I don't like complicated things. But unfortunately, sometimes I have no choice and I have to respect either the other party or the other attorneys or my partners, and that they want to dig a little bit more, and I respect it. But if it's up to me, I like to move quick. I like to do the due diligence and to make sure that we are getting what we need to get. And thank God for the last 24, 25 years, never happened to us that we bought a property. We closed on the property, and a week after, a month after, or a year after, we discovered that we failed to do the proper due diligence, and now we have a problem. You had the opportunity working with me on the shopping center, and you saw how aggressive I am, and it was important for me to get the agreement done by you and the team before I go to closing to make sure that I got everything in order. And by the way, same way we're operating in every deal. My wife, she works with me. She helps at the office. So she's helping me to monitor a lot of the things. And she knows that I'm crazy. She knows that I love working 19, 20 hours a day. We just came back from a family vacation. We went to south of France. We went to Israel. I had 17 fights and arguments with her during this vacation because I was always working. And my answer to her and to my kids was, you guys are bringing me to this beautiful place, to Monaco, to Saint-Tropez. For what? For the beach? I have it in Miami. For the pool? I have it in Miami. For the restaurant? I have the best restaurants in Miami. For the shopping? I have everything in Miami. So I'm recommending you guys go on vacation. Let me go to the office to work.
But didn't you get inspired by what you saw in Europe that you can then bring into one of your properties?
I think that what we have here between the ideas, the designs, the creativity, we are much more advanced than Europe and a lot of other markets in the world. Plus, I'm fortunate enough to work with a lot of good partners that they bring a lot of experience, a lot of creativity. The Perez family, I think they're the best of the best on selecting the architects, interior designers, brands, putting everything together. I think that I'm fortunate and I'm very lucky being involved with a lot of good partners. Lennar is one of the biggest home builders in the country. A kid like me that started, you know, from nothing, being a partner with George Perez, being a partner with Coulter, with Lennar, with a lot of other, this 800-pound gorilla, I'm very, very lucky. I thank God for this.
Well, you're the 800-pound gorilla now too.
I don't know. I prefer that they will take the credit. They will have the title of the 800-pound gorilla, and I'm going to be the one that is next to the gorilla.
How are you both a control freak and a good partner?
I think that if you're an honest person and you have some guidelines that you will not move from these guidelines, I think that you'll never have issues. And I'm a personal believer. If there is something, you pick up the phone and say, hey, George, can I come see you? Hey, JP, I need to talk to you for a minute. Or, hey, Bobby, let's put a meeting together on, let's meet for Zoom, let's go for dinner. I need 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And by the way, all my partners respect that because all my partner knows that I have a fiduciary duty to a lot of my partners. People believe in us. People invested hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars with us. Thank God a lot of our investors are investors that keep investing with us again and again and again because they saw the results. They're happy. They're very happy the way that we are reporting to them. We're sending them monthly reports. I believe in being transparent like this water. And it's easy. Our partners sometimes sending emails, hey, can I get a general ledger? What was spent on the project? Can I get this copy of bank statement? And when everything is open and transparent, it's good.
It's easy.
Send them the email. Everybody's happy. Everybody's comfortable. It doesn't take me 2 weeks to respond to a partner. Hey, let me send you a report. We're not in the business of cooking the books, and we're not in the business of hiding information. Exactly the opposite. I want the investors to have all the information. I want them to go sleep good at night knowing that their money is in a safe place. Everybody understand that investing equity in deals, yes, there is some kind of risk. But at least if a partner decided to take that risk, he wants to know that he took the risk with the right people.
What's important for you in a condo project when you find the site? So maybe take Fisher Island, for example. What was important to you? You're obviously bringing in an amazing developer, but what are the key things that you want to ensure happen on that project?
By the way, not only in Fisher Island, in every deal, I never settle for the location. If you look at all our 31 deals, each location is better than the other. So I will never settle for the location. People say in real estate, it's location, location, location. And I say location, 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 and timing, timing, timing. Because if you have the best location, but you're launching the project or wrong project at the wrong timing, you're not going to be successful. I think that putting this cocktail together, which is the location, the timing, choosing the right partner, choosing the right product, choosing the right interior designer, the right sales team, putting all these pieces together makes it a successful project.
How important is the design?
Very. Very. We see that the buyers for the last 10 years becoming more and more sophisticated. The design is important for them. The brand is important for them. They want to know who's behind the team, who's the architect. This is a well-respected architect. Plus today with the social media and internet, it's easy. A salesperson offering to a customer this project or this condo, and 2 minutes after, the potential customer or their daughter or the husband goes on Instagram, goes on Google, goes on I don't know what,
yep,
and investigating when the developer bought the project, who's the developer, who's the designer, who's the architect, and by the way, very easy to check also the comps. Am I paying the right price? Is this a market price? Is this overpriced? Why this Isaac and related wants to sell at $1,800 a foot when the neighbors want to sell at $1,300 a foot. So putting all those things together, we're creating value. We're creating value by bringing the right location, the right product, the right brand, the right interior designer. People need to get, I would say, the best for their money. It's like you and I. You're going right now to the dealer and you want to drop $50,000 on a car. You want to make sure that you're getting best value for the money. Regardless if it's a watch, if it's a condo, if it's a house, if it's a car, everybody works hard for their money. We want to get the best value for our money. The good thing is that the market changed a lot at the last 5-6 years ago. It used to be in Florida that a lot of the buyers used to be South Americans and some other areas in the world. We now see in the last 4 or 5 years, a lot of US-based Americans. They know a lot of the names that we're using. So when you're telling a New York buyer, we just selected Meyer Davis,
yep,
for this project, they're familiar with the name. So it's important to select the team that also will have the recognition by the potential buyers.
One of the things I find so fascinating about condos is you just sold penthouses for what, $150
million? Two penthouses for $150 million, that's correct.
So they could buy an estate in Palm Beach on the ocean for $150 million. Why do you think people are choosing to live in condos versus an alternative of being on Star Island or Lagos or something like that?
I think that, first of all, the level of services that you're getting. You don't need to keep staff of 10 people. So if you bought a penthouse in Fisher Island for $60 million, you'll have everything in the building. You'll have 24/7 concierge, front desk, valet parking. They will get you reservation in a restaurant. They will make sure that your car is clean. They will get your shopping. They will do everything for you.
Right.
When you have a single family home, no matter where, if it's in Palm Beach or Star Island or whatever, you need to make sure that you have enough amount of people that can maintain these properties. And as you know, people like to be in Florida because they want to be on the water. Living on the water, you need high maintenance.
Yes.
Maintaining a home on the water, it's not something cheap. The insurance, the landscaping, the pool, every year to fix this, fix that, rather than living in a condominium, you write a check every month for your maintenance fees and you're getting the best services. Like you feeling in a 10-star hotel or resort the entire year. And this is the feeling and this is the level of services and the quality that we want to give our buyers in all our projects. Regardless if you paid $1,000 a foot for District 225 in downtown Miami, or you paid $1,800 a foot for the Ritz-Carlton resident in West Palm Beach, or $4,000 a foot in Fisher Island, or $5,000 a foot in Fisher Island, you will get the best service. You'll get a quality project, quality developer. You'll get the right amenities. And at the end of the day, everybody wants best value for their money. And regardless if you are a buyer from New York, Colombia, for $600,000 condo or for $60 million penthouse.
I want to go through your development process and the due diligence process. So you find the land, but how do you know if the price is going to make sense? How do you know what you could build it for? How do you know what you could sell it for? What is the early process that you go through when you identify a site?
First of all, as we said, is the location. So I'm going to give you today my special sauce, my recipe.
Give it to me.
So first is the location. If the location is right, now we're evaluating what is the development right. Because at the end of the day, the price that I can afford to pay on the land is what is my development right. If I paid for this site $20 million and I can only build 30,000 square feet, which means that it cost me, the land cost me on the per sellable, net sellable square feet, about $650 a foot. Construction costs became very expensive the last 4 or 5 years. Interest rates became expensive. I don't think that construction costs will ever go down. I think that this is what we see now. This is like the new standards. I think that rates will go down. I think in 2 years, the world is going to look completely different. But if you're putting things together between land cost, development rights, construction cost, and then you're doing your market analysis, what I can sell for. So if the land cost me $650 a foot, construction cost me another $1,000 a foot between hard and soft, and now my cost is at $1,650, $1,700 a foot. If you don't have a healthy margin of about 20-25% minimum, you're not going to get financing by the bank. So if the deal doesn't pencil on paper, you can have the best location or whatever, but if the deal doesn't work, you cannot get it done.
And how does a condo financing work? That's what I want to have you explain to a lot of people because it's very unique, particularly in Florida.
So I think I think it's important to explain that in Florida, we are lucky that we can use most of buyers' deposits towards the construction. So if you take the equity of us, the developers, having in the deal when we buy the land, soft cost, pre-development dollars that we're investing, and then buyers' deposits, this completes the equity. The good news that after the crash in 2008, 2009, there is no more high leverage loans. So you need to have a lot of equity in deals, regardless if it's buyer's deposits and the equity from the owners, the equity from the developer. If you don't have a lot of equity in the deal, you're not going to get this deal financed. And this is good because we all remember what happened in 2008, 2009, when condo buyers used to come to sales office, used to buy 2-3 units, putting 5-10% deposit. And guess what? When the time came for closing, the world looked different. Everybody said, I'll walk away from this deposit.
Yep.
I prefer to lose. Today, what we see is completely different. For the last, I would say, 7-8 years, we don't have even one buyer that walked away from 40 or 50% deposit. And this is what we are demanding from every project that we're doing. We don't do projects with 10%, 15% total deposits from buyers. We're not going to take the risk.
What return are you targeting as an investor on a multiple basis?
I would say that if the deal doesn't have at least 3x or more, we're not going to touch the deal.
Wow. Condos are good.
Condos are good if you know what you're doing. I can tell you a lot of other stories about other people that I know that they started a deal and then this great design and the entitlements and everything they did, it was on paper for 10-12 years because they couldn't get it done. And this is why I prefer in my business model is instead of doing 100% of the work myself and getting 100% of the profits between me, my wife, and the partners, I prefer to do exactly the opposite, which is having 50% in the deal, 60% in the deal, but doing the deal with a partner that have the track record, have the staff, the team, the experience, the knowledge to get it all the way to the finish line.
We don't have to go into all the specifics, but when you're doing a deal, let's say 50-50 with another developer, what does that look like? Is that like 50-50 straight up? Or are you getting some sort of promote for finding the land? How do you typically structure it?
Every deal has a different story. It depends on the deal. It depends on the margins. It depends on the location. It depends on the timeline. So there is so many different things. Every deal has a different story. There is no rules and set in stone, say, I bought the land, you'll put the cash, I'll get 90%, you'll get 10%. Doesn't work like that. Every deal we sit down, we renegotiate, we see the numbers. Because obviously, if you are the related group or coulter, and you have a team of 500-600 people, that this is a big machine that you need to feed, it makes sense that you'll get more of the fees, that we will get the fees. So we're trying to be fair with everybody, fair with our partners, and fair with our investors.
I like having a small team. My team, you know, we have like 900 employees on the hotel side, but on our investment side, 7 or 8 people. And it feels very entrepreneurial. It feels manageable. You can scale up, scale down. How have you been able to do what you do with 8 people?
I think the business model is very simple. Is we find the opportunity, then we find the right partner, we put it together. And I think this is taking us one step forward to great success. I don't have a team of engineers, architects, project managers. I don't have the capabilities, the knowledge, or the time to babysit them to do so many projects. This is why I prefer to join forces with other reputable developers. For example, the Perez family, as I said, Coulter and many others. I enjoy working with them and I sleep good at night knowing that our money and our investors' money is in a good place.
Where do most people make mistakes in your position?
Greed. Is that person that wants 100% for himself? It's a great deal. I'm not bringing partner. I'll do it on my own. I heard too many stories of people that got burned.
So you have all these development projects going. You don't invest in stocks or crypto. How do you keep everyone fed, all the 8 kids? How do you structure it so that you're compensated along the way and that all your money is not 100% in the ground?
So I believe to diversify something that's important. Giving a good example for the kids is something that it's important. Some of our kids, this is a family-owned business, so some of our kids working with us, and hope that more will join us in the future. Some of them are not patient because, as I said before, development takes time, putting the whole deal together, 3-4 years. Some of my kids, they want cash flowing business. They want, it's like cash register. You open in the morning and you make $5,000 in the afternoon. Yep. So I said, for this, go open a restaurant or open a grocery. Real estate is completely different. Some of the other kids, they're more patient. They understand the potential. They understand that there is a lot of money to be made if you do the right things and the right decisions. But again, the key for the success is the location, the partner, being a good person, being a good partner, being transparent. I think that's the key for the success.
Do you have interest in investing in cash flowing real estate?
Sometimes we do it, yes. And I think that our business model for the last few years proved that this is what we do. We buy a lot of value add deals. We buy office buildings, we buy shopping center, and then we are creating additional development rights. Like for example, the deal we did next to your property in Fort Lauderdale, there is an amazing cash flow in place, great piece of property on the water, shopping center, 93% occupied, and there is development rights that we're going to improve right now for 360 residential units. And this is how we come in and we create value, building a good building, efficient building, using the right people, the right architect, engineers, getting the right brand, the right sales team to make this deal successful. So cash flowing assets with some upside, it's something that we love. Mixed use projects, it's something that we like. But I think being focused is very important. You cannot call me and say, Isaac, I have an amazing deal in North Carolina or in Atlanta or in New Jersey. I'm just going to tell you that it's not for me. Even if you show me that there is $100 million to be made and the money is right there, just let's just go and grab it. It's not for me. We like to stay focused.
What is an area of Florida that you haven't invested in, that you're circling, that you like, that you think is interesting?
I think the West Coast has a lot of room for growth. We just did our first deal about 2 months ago. We acquired a building that we just finished demolishing it with Coulter, paid $102.6 million for 2.5 acres right on the ocean, where we have Rosewood to the south.
Yep.
And Four Seasons to the north, and we're right in the middle. When Four Seasons selling between $4,000 to $5,000 a foot, Rosewood selling at $4,000 a foot. So I called Bobby Julian. Matter of fact, this was our first deal, and he said, "Bobby, today is your lucky day. You asked me to show you deals, so I'm showing you a deal. The bad news is that you have 1 hour to make a decision if you want to join me as a partner or not, because we need to go with hard money today." And he said, "Sure, send me the information." Guess what? He calls me 20 minutes after and he says, "Isaac, I'm in. Send me the wire instructions. Let's do the deal." But we closed on the property. We just submitted our plans for an ultra, ultra, ultra luxury project. That
above Four Seasons?
Right next to Four Seasons.
Wow.
Ultra luxury product, something that the Naples market and the West Coast, nobody even saw something like this. Unfortunately, I cannot share more information today, but very soon we will reveal our plans. And hopefully by the end of the year, we will introduce this project to the market and to the public.
Okay, so let's use that as an example. $102 million. How do you pay for that? Bobby had to come up with a good amount of money, I would assume, in 20 minutes. Or did you come up with a crazy structure that enabled you to move quickly and pay over time? How does a deal like that work?
So first of all, we secured the deal. We signed a contract. We put a
five-page...
This was a little bit more complicated than five page because we purchased a co-op,
okay,
all the unit owners. So we dealt with a very smart attorney that was representing them, very smart brokers that were involved with us in the deal, and they helped us putting the whole deal together. We like to work with smart people. Smart people will save you a lot of time, a lot of headaches. So we got the contract. We put millions and millions of dollars in deposits. Once we went hard, we had about 3 months to close, had a meeting with our partners at Coulter, a lot of smart people working there. So we decided that we're going to go and we're going to get for about 50-55% financing. So we secured a loan. Then we went out to the market, to our partners, Coulter's partners. We raised some of the equity. All the rest is history. We closed on the property. We just finished the demolition. We just submitted the plans to the city. We closed on the property. And as I said, towards the end of the year, we'll introduce the project to the market, which is going to be something unbelievable.
And how do you time the construction of the project with the sales? Are you kind of starting construction just before the sales, or are you lining them up at about the same time?
Personally, I learned from a lot of good and smart partners that I have. You don't want to start construction before you have 40 to 50% sales, because once you have 40 to 50% in pre-sales, you're safe and a lot of the risk is off the table. If you have the land, if you have the approvals, if you have the sales, if you have price from a GC, if you have the financing, you are very close to success. And if you know what you're doing.
You said timing, timing, timing. On that deal, why was the timing so short? Whenever someone tells me that, I'm like, ah, it's bullshit. You know, there's no way you would need to close that quickly or go hard that quickly. What was the story on the timing?
When I was working on this deal, I was competing with huge three other groups that was trying to buy the property. I think the added value that I had here, that I had the ability to underwrite the deal fast and put almost $5 million in non-refundable deposit day one. You don't see a lot of players in this market putting millions and millions of dollars with hard money day one. And this is something that we're good at, evaluating a deal, moving fast with the due diligence, underwriting the deal, securing the right partners, securing the financing. We have a lot of a relationship with a lot of banks that we're working with, City National Bank, Centennial Bank, Amerant Bank.
Yep.
So we work with a lot of good lenders, Ocean Bank. We work with some debt funds up in New York. So if we get the right deal, we will make some calls and we will secure the financing within days.
As you're designing that project on the West Coast, are there things that you're doing slightly differently because it's not in Miami Beach, it's on Naples Beach?
So for example, in this project in particular, we are next to Four Seasons, where they selling average unit at about 2,500, 3,000 square feet, and they're 99% sold out. Rosewood, which they selling almost similar size of units. So we were sitting with our partners at Coulter and we said, how we can come up with something completely different that we will not compete with others. And we said, what do we have on the same street? We have big mansions on the ocean, $200 million homes, $150 yep. million dollar home. You know this market,
yep.
$120 million homes. So what we did is we said, we will create this private villa, this single family home in the air. So what we did is we are finishing the design now for a 10,000 square feet home that you can combine, which means if you're a buyer and you want to come in and you buy 10,000, one floor, this is not a product that you see every day. Usually no. you see this unit, two, three floors if you want a big unit. Here you'll have the opportunity having 10,000 square feet, one floor right on the ocean, or 20,000 square feet because now we're going to combine two units. This is a completely different product. So we will have our neighbors with single family home that they need to have 15 maintenance up,
yep.
15 people to pay them salaries every month to maintain this 20,000 square feet condo, a 20,000 square feet single family home. And you can live in our boutique, ultra luxury building, 20,000 square feet, that you'll have 24/7, the best services ever, with the concierge, with valet, with whatever you want, whatever you dream at night, we will deliver for you in the morning. And the customers and the potential buyers for this product in Naples, I'm sure that they will know how to appreciate that.
How important is branding? So you have Four Seasons, you have Rosewood. Do you need to have some other hotel brand there, or can you create your own brand, whether it's in Naples or anywhere else? I'm curious because all of these big condo projects are having brands attached to them, and some are irrelevant. Like, you know, you have a car company attached to a condo, a hotel is more relatable. What do you think about the brand component?
I think that for the last 10 years, we see it not only in Florida and other markets, in the US and in the world in general, brands became very popular. People like to say, hey, I live in Four Seasons in Surfside. I live in St. Regis, in Sunny Isles. The brand is important. The level of services is important. By the way, almost everything is a brand today.
Everything.
The shirt that you have, the watch that you have, the yep. car that you're driving. There is a lot of other cars that doesn't have a fancy brand that you'll enjoy driving every day. But guess what? You drove this fancy Range Rover this yep. morning because it's the right brand. It's the right car. You paid a lot of money for it and you're getting a lot of value for your money. Yep. Same thing with residential. I think the brand is important. Not always. Sometimes you have this special deal, special location that the location or the product itself is the brand. For example, like Fisher Island. In Fisher Island, we had a lot of meetings with the partners and we said, is this is going to be a Sixth Sense? Is this going to be a one and only? This is going to be a Bulgari. And then we decided that Fisher Island on its own, it's a brand.
Absolutely.
And I think we made the right decision. Today, we are over $500 million sold. We just started construction for the project. We just closed
wow.
a $400 million construction loan. I'm happy that our partners believe in this deal. This deal has a crazy story, by the way, Fisher Island. I secured the equity from one of my best friends. He's a self-made billionaire, Teddy Sagi. Made a lot of money in the online gaming. Super smart man. And when I offered him the deal, I said, Teddy, we need to buy this property. It's a great piece of property. It's a big ticket. It's over $100 million. And in order for me to get this deal, I will need $10 million at least as a non-refundable deposit. And his answer was, Isaac, I know nothing about St. Regis. I know nothing about Fisher Island. I know nothing about Ritz-Carlton in Miami. I know nothing about this market. I trust you. And I trust your judgment. And if you say that Fisher Island is the right location and Fisher Island is a great deal, I'm with you. You have all the support and everything on my end. And guess what? When I signed a contract for this property, we went with $15 million hard money, non-refundable, released to the seller.
Wow.
The next thing that I had to do is to convince George, JP, and Nick that I want them to come in as partners. We want them to join us and to build this project. And I'm very happy that they believed in me. They believed in the deal. And they came in as a partner, as partners, and all the rest is history.
Why? It sounds obvious to me. I mean, I've been to Fisher Island many times. It's one of a kind. What was the hesitation, perhaps, on Related's part? Why did you need to convince them?
Not easy to build in Fisher Island. It's expensive. Getting everything on a ferry between the employees every day, the construction materials, it's a challenge, but it's a dream for every developer to build on the island. George Perez will tell you that. Everybody will tell you that.
Of course.
That this is a dream of every developer building in Fisher Island because it's a legend, it's a legacy. But putting everything together for the numbers to work between land cost, construction cost, the challenges that you have to build, there is nobody better than Related on getting everything done. So everybody was sitting together. They realized that Teddy is willing to take the risk and fund the first deposit, $15 million, second deposit, $15. So $30 million in non-refundable deposit.
It's hardcore.
This is a big ticket, but I'm very happy and I'm grateful for Teddy of trusting me in this deal. And I'm very happy that the Perez family decided to believe in my vision and to join me into this deal. And very soon, probably in 2 years or so, we will deliver this building. And if you want, we'll be happy to invite you to the to the ceremony when we will get the CEO and to the opening of the building. And I'm sure that everybody will be happy and excited.
Amazing. I remember in 2006, like I was in college at University of Miami, Fisher Island was basically bankrupt. Like no one was building anything there. It was not exciting. Do you sense that we're coming into any time like that where there's going to be opportunities for you to perhaps acquire a Fisher Island somewhere else or this unique once in a lifetime opportunity in the next 2 or 3 years?
I learned to say that never say never, but I don't think that we will have this opportunity in Florida. Maybe in other states, which I don't work in other states, so it's not relevant for me. But what we see here in Florida is here to stay. I think it's only going to get stronger and stronger. We own some office buildings. We own retail. We see the amount of companies relocating to Florida. Like, for example, we closed last year on the headquarters of Office Depot with yep. Ian Winner, with PEB. We paid $104 million for 650,000 square feet of office. We leased part of it to Office Depot for 10 years, and we're getting huge demand. We signed a lot of leases with a lot of tenants. We're getting more and more tenants that coming down, and we see where they're coming from. They're coming from New York. They're coming from Chicago. They're coming from New Jersey. They're coming from Canada. They're coming from South America. Years ago, people like to go to come to Florida just for fun, for the sun, to enjoy. So they spend a week, two, a month, and they're leaving. Now, people want to live here most of the time. They want to enjoy life. They have the best restaurants. They have shopping. It's a safe place. The business environment is changing. I think the bureaucracy here is not difficult at all. The fact that this is a safe place, it's helping people relocating here. And we see companies like Citadel, Ken Griffin,
yep.
moving from Chicago and making almost $2 billion of real estate investments in
Florida. How are you not involved in some of those deals?
Unfortunately, I don't know Ken Griffin and Citadel, but I admire what they do. And I hope that one day I'll have the opportunity meeting him and working together with them and maybe bringing them as partners or as investors. But getting companies or getting individuals like Jeff Bezos, Ken Griffin, Carl Icahn, Messi, this makes all this effect. Nobody can ignore what's going on in Florida for the last 5-6 years. And as I said at the beginning of our conversation today, 5-6 years ago, people thought that I'm an idiot, that I'm not going to other markets. Hey, Isaac, Texas is exploding. New York is exploding. I said, I'm staying here in Florida. This is my market. This is what I know. This is what I prefer. This is what my investor prefer. And I'm very happy and I'm fortunate. I thank God that we were staying very, we're focused and we will continue to stay very focused for everybody, for ourselves and for our partners. But I think that what's going on here in Florida is only going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. The fact that you can go to New York and if someone will arrest a person in a shoplifting and they will not press charges, if you're going to go to Walgreens and you're going to steal a bubble gum, you're going to have 10 police cars
yep.
coming and you'll you get will. Arrested. People cannot ignore that people want to feel safe. One of the reasons that people like Fisher Island, for example, or they like to live not only in Fisher Island, in a high-rise condominium, it's safe. You have security, you have front desk, it's 24 hours secure.
Yep.
Nobody can come up to your unit unless he's invited. So I think all those things are important.
I was in New York a couple months ago for a fundraising trip, and I was there obviously through COVID for a couple times. And I went back and I went, wow, New York feels lively. It's the summer. People are out and about. We made a preferred equity investment at a hotel in New York. That hotel is doing phenomenal. It's exploding. And multiple investors that I met with, very wealthy people, said, New York's not the same. I don't feel safe here. It's dirty. It's grungy. You walk outside my townhouse and there's people laying on the street or whatever. And I was surprised to hear that. But they were also still there. So I wonder when there's going to be that turning point when the last of those folks come down here or come to somewhere else in Florida, because I feel like it's going to happen.
I'm very bullish and optimistic. George called me, you're always the optimistic one, when he liked to be sometimes the pessimistic one. But the weather in New York or Chicago, all the markets, 5, 6, 7 months out of the year, snow, cold, dealing with a lot of homeless problem that
yep.
I hope that the governor and the mayor will clean this thing. You going to Bell Harbor here, or you going here to the design district, you don't see this problem. But guess what? You go on Michigan Avenue, you entering the Prada store
yep.
or a Hermes store, and you have 50 homeless people outside. This is a problem. It's scary.
100%.
You don't have it here in Florida. It's safe. It's clean. The governor is doing an unbelievable job. The mayor in Miami is doing an unbelievable job. In Hollywood, in Fort Lauderdale, in a lot of the markets, West Palm Beach, the mayor is doing an unbelievable job. You see how many companies are relocating yep. to West Palm. We all see what Steve Ross is doing is amazing. A lot of people moving down. Whoever believed that Class A office space in West Palm Beach will get north of $100-$150 a foot. 10 years ago, you couldn't give space away, $20 a foot. Today, you cannot find space at $100-$125 a foot. It speaks for itself, because those companies, when they're relocating here, they're signing a long-term lease, 10-year yep. deal, 15-year yep. deal. They're moving their staff. People are moving here, buying houses, buying condos. They're bringing their family. The kids are going to schools. This is something that obviously will have to change in Florida. We need more schools. We need more infrastructure. But I think that cities, the governor, nobody can ignore what's going on here. I think that the state is only going to get better and better. And I hope that you and I will sit a year from now and we can say that, hey, Isaac, you're right again. And this market is exploding. I believe that this market, once Fed is going to start to act and will lower rate and everybody will see the direction is going down, one of the markets that will explode first will be Florida.
100%. I miss West Palm Beach. We looked at so many deals in West Palm. We started investing in Fort Lauderdale first. And actually, West Palm ripped harder and quicker than Fort Lauderdale did. Fort Lauderdale's always been very stable, and there's a lot of wealth here. There's tremendous convenience with the airport, the port, the beach, and everything. But West Palm just came out of nowhere.
The fact that you missed the market in West Palm is good. This is why we have more opportunities. But I realized West Palm Beach, about 3.5 years ago, I bought a site that used to be a medical office with a partner of mine, the Vieta family, 1770 North Flagler.
Mm-hmm.
This is across from Palm Beach Island. Today, we have a sales center on site. We're selling Ritz-Carlton residence. We brought George Perez. George have amazing instincts. I told George, hey, we have this property under contract. He went to see it. He calls me from the site, and that was his words. I am in. And so we saw what's going on in West Palm Beach market about 3.5 years ago. We did multiple deals over there. 1717 is only one of them. We have other properties over there. And I'm sure you saw the article that was in the paper a couple of days ago.
Yep.
We have another piece of property under contract right next to the Ritz, 2001 North Flagler, that God willing, we will close in about 60 days. And we have great plans and great ideas what to do on this site as well. So being focused, as I said earlier today, I think it's something that's important.
What's the biggest mistake you've made in business?
Not being patient.
How has that manifested? What happened?
Is I sold properties too early, or I made the wrong decision because I wasn't patient. If I would wait a little bit more, I would make more money, or I would do a better deal. But it's good because we learn from our lesson. Now that I'm 50 years old, a father to 8 kids, a grandfather, I'm being a little bit more patient. If you talk to people that knows me for many years, they will tell you, hey, Isaac completely changed. Years ago, he would offer you a deal and he will tell you, you have 5 minutes to make a decision. Today, if you'll tell me, Isaac, give me 24 hours, I will tell you no problem. Years ago, I would never give you 24 hours.
What's it like working with your wife?
Heaven. She's my best friend. She's my partner. She's the love of my life. Together 26 years. She has very good instincts. I take her to see with me properties. Say, hey, Liat, what do you think about this deal? I like it. I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like the area. She has very good instincts. She's helping me at the office. And again, as I said before, it's a family office. We work, some of our kids working with us. And I think it's good for our kids, for the next generation, to see that the money doesn't grow on the trees. That when you guys are going to that restaurant and you're swiping the card for $500, or when you go to buy a shirt or a bag for $2,000, someone worked very hard for this money.
What are the lessons you teach your kids?
Be focused. Be honest. Last night, my son is working on a new business with some of his friends and some of his partners. So I was, I think, at 11:30 at night at bed already. And he came and said, Dad, can you give us 30 minutes? Sure. I came in, we were sitting in the balcony and I was talking to his friends and his new partners. And what I repeated myself 20 times. He said, follow the law, be honest, be transparent with each other. Sometimes you'll have issues, you'll have problems. You sit down at the table and you resolve it. Nothing goes smooth. The life is not a movie and everything is light blue and pink. You're going to have those days that it's gray and it's black. But if you know how to navigate through the storm, you'll do good. But you need to be a good person, because good people will always going to sit down at the table and resolve something. Regardless, if you lose a million or if you make a million, be a good person.
One of the things you're known for is negotiating. You wouldn't be able to do all these deals if you weren't a good negotiator. What have you learned about negotiation that is always kind of something you're thinking about when you're dealing with someone across the table?
Is I'm trying always to get in the mind of the person that's sitting across the table. And before I'm making him an offer, regardless if it's the price, the terms, the closing date, the deposit, the purchase price, yes, financing, no financing, subject to approval, not subject to approval, is before I'm firing this, my next sentence, I'm trying to think, would you accept it? So I'm trying to be fair on the other side. So sometimes I'm going to be very aggressive. It's like, Jake wants to sell this property and he wants $30 million for the property. He lists the property with the broker. It's 4 months on the market. He gets nothing. And then Isaac comes and says, Jake, the reason you didn't sell this property until today is it's overpriced. It doesn't make sense. You need to invest money. You need to increase the development rights. But guess what? Today's your lucky day. We will sign a contract today at $22 million. I'll give you $2 million deposit today and we will close in 30 days. And sometimes sellers will say, you know what? I'll lower the price, but I know that this guy is for real. I'll have a closing. And we see it time after time after time. Being honest, being aggressive, and giving the certainty to the seller that they will have a successful closing, it's important. And time after time, it's working for us. Thank God.
So in 3 years from now, what would you like to be doing more of and what would you like to be doing less of?
Exactly what I do today. People ask me, when you want to retire? I said, never. And I said that I think that I want to be healthy. And at 90 years old, I want to drop dead healthy at the office and from the office straight to the cemetery. I said as a joke to people, but it's really not a joke. I want to enjoy my family. I want to enjoy my kids. I want to continue to spend more time with my wife, grandkids. spend time with my partners, enjoy what I'm doing. Making money is good for us, for our investors, for our partners, but I want to do exactly what I'm doing today. I don't want to change anything.
I asked all the guests on the podcast the same closing question, and you were just on vacation, so maybe one of these hotels is going to be the answer, but what is your favorite hotel?
What is my favorite hotel? That's a good question. There is a lot of them that I like. We travel almost every summer to south of France. We love Monaco. So Hotel de Paris, I would say that it's amazing.
It's amazing.
I love it. The location, the services, the food. Listen, everybody wants the same thing. When you're going to a hotel, you want to make sure that it's beautiful, that it's clean, you're getting the right service, that the food is amazing, that if you are hungry at 11 o'clock at night and you call room service, the pizza or the pasta or the salad will be good and will be fresh. And I think at the end of the day, everybody wants the same thing. If you are a guest in a hotel for $100 a night or 10,000 euro a night, everybody wants the same thing. They want to go to the shower. They want to have fresh towels. You want the place to be clean. You want the place to be good. You want the location to be good. So at the end of the day, we all want the same thing.
Yep.
Regardless if your budget is $100 or $1,000 a night or $150 a night, we all want the same thing. We want the coffee in the morning to be hot, to be fresh, and to be tasty.
It's fun sitting out there at the restaurant, Louis Ken's, and watching the show and people coming in and out. It's wild.
This summer was packed. It was very hot. I told my wife that I don't think we're going to go again in July or in August. I think the best time to go to this area is it's either in June or September. It was packed.
A lot of Americans.
Tons of Americans. Restaurants, you couldn't even get a table. Difficult to make reservations. Like you going to shopping. I hate shopping, but I follow my wife and I follow the kids. And you see 200 people in Hermes or 100 people in Chanel. Tell my wife, what is this? They're giving things for free here or what?
And then you have to make an appointment or wait in line.
Crazy. It's showing you that there is a lot of money in the world. And by the way, while people chasing this shopping in Monaco or in Italy or in many other areas in the world, this is why I tell people that Florida is the best. We have everything here.
Everything.
We have the best beaches. We have the best hotels, the best food, the restaurant, the shopping. It's safe. And regardless if you're coming from South America, from Canada, from the Middle East, everybody's feeling good here. This is why I think that this is my closing sentence. Florida is the best.
I agree. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Hey, everyone. It's Jake here. Thanks again for joining me on this conversation. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Lastly, don't forget to follow me on Twitter @JayWorzak. I'll see you in the next episode.
Jake Worzak is the founder and CEO of Dove Hill Capital Management. All opinions expressed by Jake and his guests are solely their own and do not reflect the opinions of Dove Hill Capital Management. This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not reflect or represent real estate, financial, or investment advice.